The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. My name is Sam Norris and I'll be joined by Stephen Powell today to have a look ahead to the Scottish National and also to have a look through tomorrow's racing as well. How are you, Stephen?
Very good, thank you, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, good stuff. I'm looking forward to the Scottish National at the weekend. Some big news come out this morning. Obviously, Paul Nicholls has confirmed that Tidal Bay will run at top weight. Obviously, if he didn't run, then the weights go up by £19, which means most of the field now are going to run out of the handicap. Is it a good thing for you that Tidal Bay's in the race?
Well, I think it's a good thing for Paul Nicholls in the sense that his other runner, Sam Winner, who's towards the fore of the betting with us here at William Hill, now races off under 11 stone, where he would have been joint top weight if they'd have took Tidal Bay out. In terms of Tidal Bay, he's a horse that I love, and he obviously stays well, and obviously he was very unlucky at Aintree last week to get sort of taken out by Golan Way, who fell in front of him at the canal turn. But in recent years, the Scottish National has tended to be a race where horses who race prominently perform very well, and very few who are held up get into it at all, and that would really put me off Tidal Bay. I have no problem with the weight, no problem with him staying or anything like that at all. Top weights actually haven't got a bad record. Grey Abbey made all with top weight about 10 years ago, but the fact that he has to be held up and pick his way through is not easy to do at Ayr, and that would concern me a little bit.
Sure. He's currently 14-1 in the betting, as you say. So you wouldn't be looking to take him on at that price. We've got at the head of the betting, Green Flag at 8-1, Mendip Express at 9-1, and as you mentioned, Sam Winner at 9-1. Just wanted to ask you about Mendip Express, because Harry Fry's came out this morning and sort of rather talked up Mendip Express's chances. Obviously, he must believe that it's got a chance if he wants to bring the horse up from Dorset, I think, all the way to Ayr and then back again. Mendip Express, is it a possible pick for you?
Yeah, all three of them at the top of the market have got similar profiles in the sense that they're all young, improving, lightly raced chasers, and all experiencing a marathon trip really for the first time as well. I mean, Mendip Express, still technically a novice, did win a lot of point to points. He was very impressive when he won under top weight at Cheltenham on New Year's Day in really, really bad ground. And Harry Fryer said repeatedly he'll be suited better by better ground as well. I was slightly disappointed with his run at Newbury because I don't think that was his true form, to be honest. His win at Cheltenham should have entitled him to run better at Newbury than he did, but they left off him. They didn't go to Cheltenham deliberately. They've aimed him at this specifically as well. And he tends to race, as I say, in the sort of front rank, so that will suit him. And actually, probably of the top three, he's probably the one that I prefer. When you look at Green Flag and Sam Winner as well, I like all three horses actually, and to be fair, the Green Flag form has worked out really, really well from Cheltenham, hasn't it, with the likes of Hollywell and Maffey Earl both coming out and winning since, who beat him at Cheltenham. So I can see why he's favourite, but if you push me the top three there that you mentioned, it probably will be Mendip Express that I'd lean towards.
Yeah, good stuff. It should be a good race. And speaking of good races, we've got the Guineas meeting not too far into the future, and just interesting about Lucky Cristal this morning. George Margeson's come out and says that running over a mile is well within the horse's range, despite the fact he never had a winner over 6 furlongs. Do you think that, do you agree with George Margeson? Do you think it can win over a mile?
I think, can it win over a mile is a different question to saying, can it win the 1,000 guineas over a mile? Can it win over a mile? More than likely, I would say it probably can. Can it win the 1,000 guineas like a high-quality, top-class race over a mile? Probably not. So in terms of the guineas itself, I don't think she's going to win personally. I think she'll run well. It'd be great if she won, because I was at Newmarket a couple of times when she won last year. Small stable, not a particularly flashily bred horse, small owners. So it'd be very good for them and good for racing if she could win. But I just think that she might find one or two too good for her. I think she could probably run fourth or fifth and run really well without actually winning.
Okay, then. There you go. We'll move on now to have a little look at Friday's racing. And the first meeting that we've picked out here is the 3:40 at Newbury. It's a Class 2 handicap contest over 7 furlong. Another one of these BOBIS races that we've mentioned before on the podcast. Richard Hannon, who won the race last year, he has three mounts in this one, Showpiece, Exchequer and Baby Bush. Are any of these particularly a pick for you?
Well, I do actually... I was quite taken with Exchequer when it won last week at Lingfields, given a very good ride that day by Frankie Dettori. It comfortably won that maiden by four lengths, and I think they've turned him out quickly before obviously the handicapper reassesses him, and I do like him. Obviously Showpiece is very interesting because they've booked Ryan Moore to ride, a horse who won last year but then was disappointing on his final start over a mile at Doncaster, and I think that might have stretched him, and that would be sort of borne out by the fact that they're running him over seven first time out. Baby Bush didn't really do a lot for me last year. Finished third behind Piping Rock, his ill-fated stable companion, but not overly enamoured with Baby Bush. I think he's definitely the outsider of the three, and I'd probably maybe side with Exchequer over Showpiece as a trio. In terms of the race overall, Muwari was a very nice winner over course and distance on debut last year for John Gosden, beating Torrid by half a length in a well-contested maiden. And obviously John Gosden started the season really, really well. He's had a lot of winners already this week. Obviously the horse can go well fresh as he won first time out. And he's going to be a fairly short favourite, I would have thought, but he has the potential to improve further from a race such as this, so he's got to be taken very seriously. Order Combat, I was at Newmarket when he won first time up last year, but he was very, very disappointing when he was beaten at odds of 1-4 at Kempton. Admittedly, the race wasn't run to suit him that day and was a little bit disappointing, really, Order Combat, but I'm sure there's still more to come from him. And Zarwan as well, he won a maiden at Haydock, beating Strategical, which was a nice run, but he's from the Ed Dunlop team, and they tend, as Zarwan did last year, to be better with a run. So all in all, I would say that Muwari is probably the most likely winner, and of the dangers, probably Exchequer. Fresh won last week. Yeah, and we know he's fit and raring to go. And obviously Richard Hannon's doing well as well. So those would be the two for me.
Yeah, OK, good stuff. We'll stick at Newbury for the next one, the 4:15. This is a Class 2 handicap 5 furlong contest with 10 runners. And good to see that we've got the three jockeys that are currently leading the Flat Jockey Championship. Ryan Moore, Ozin Murphy and Adam Kirby all have rides in this one. All 10 of the field, apart from Adam Kirby's mount, have won at the distance before. Do you like Dutch Masterpiece, Steps and Jimmy Styles, who are the three respective mounts of the leaders?
Well, Jimmy Styles is 10 now, and he's definitely not as good as he was. Although he did run okay behind Dinkum Diamond at Doncaster last week. Five furlongs is too short. I think he's too old in comparison to some of the others, and I'd be happy to steer well clear of him. The top two are interesting. Dutch Masterpiece particularly went through the ranks at a fair rate of knots last year, won listed and group races in Ireland, and then they threw him into the deep end in the Prix de l'Abbé at Longchamp when he was 17th of 20, but he was only beaten six lengths by Marek that day. And I think he's a horse who's still open to a lot of improvement. Gary Moore did well with the horse last year, obviously. He won three races in a row. To win a handicap off 110 is not easy, but I think he could just be better than these, full stop. He's hard to try and take on. With Steps, he was very unlucky several times last year before finally getting his head in front, showing what he can do. He was then disappointing back at Doncaster when he was a bit one-paced after that. Obviously, O'Shea Murphy, a very good booking, and he claims £3 off him, so it's £8 he gets from Dutch Masterpiece. If he's fit and raring to go, I think, again, similar to the earlier race we discussed, he could probably run well, but I don't think he'll win. One that I do think might run well is actually Burwars, who's down at the bottom for Ed Dunlop and Paul Hannigan. He's a horse who's got good form when you flick through, when they actually campaign him to suit him, where he was pacemakered and running races that he couldn't possibly win, like the QE2 last time out at Ascot. Dropping down to five furlongs and into a handicap off a career low mark, I thought was interesting for Burwars. It'll be a big double-figure price, and I just thought he might outrun those odds. But Dutch Masterpiece, the one to win. And the danger, I think, will be actually Fire Eyes, who's trained by David Brown. He only had one run last year behind Soul Power at Newmarket, but his two-year-old form was all right. He's had almost a year off to grow and improve and mature and all of the above, and he'll be the danger to Dutch Masterpiece, I think.
Okay, there you go then. Dutch Masterpiece for Stephen in the 4:15 at Newbury. I'm going to go to Ayr for the last race that we're going to look at, and the 3:50 from Ayr, which is a Class 2 handicap contest, run over 2 miles and 4 furlongs, 9 runners. Looks quite a competitive race, this one, to be honest, Stephen. Mm. All 9 runners have won over the distance, and we probably expect Tap Knight to be leading the betting.
Yeah.
However, he was pulled up in the Burn Group Plate, of course, at Cheltenham, but is a horse that seems to like Ayr. 4 wins here and a place.
Yes, he has got 4 wins and a place here, but his 4 wins and a place have all been in pretty minor races, to be honest, when he was just dossing round. He's not a horse that I like, Tap Knight. In fact, I really don't like Tap Knight. Because McCoy's riding him, and obviously he's trained in Scotland by Lucinda Russell, he will be popular, but I really don't like Tap Knight at all. And every time he runs, I'm happy to take him on. And this would be another case, to be honest, where I think he could be beaten. I actually think the other Lucinda Russell runner, Quito de Tresor, will run a decent race. 2 miles was a bit short for him last time at Musselburgh. He's had a little bit of a break. He likes Ayr. The going's fine, trip's fine, and I think he'll run okay, Quito de Tresor. If we talk about Cheltenham form and good Cheltenham form, it's a bit tenuous, this, but Solix was 16th behind Hollywell and Maffey Earl in the Bayliss and Harding handicap chase. And obviously, he just wasn't good enough that. He was 33-1. He's been dropped a few pounds by the handicapper. Blinker for the first time as well. And another one who I think the trip will suit, going 2.5. Might just sharpen him up a bit. We've both got Viva Colonia and Tahiti Pearl running a week after unseating their riders in the Topham, which was obviously won by Maffey Earl. Tahiti Pearl was running a good race at the time, in fairness to him. He was right up there at Beecher's when he just sort of pitched and the jockey came out the side door. And again, another one who I think might run well, Tahiti Pearl. But my idea of the actual winner is Bless the Wings, who's trained by Alan King, the mount of Wayne Hutchinson, also ran in the Burn Group Plate, in which Tap Knight contested, as you mentioned, Sam. And he finished 15th, well back. But he was right there. He was travelling quite well. Having watched the replay back, it just hit the fourth last, and that put him out of the race, basically, sure, that day. And I've mentioned saying, yeah, I think they'll like the trip, they'll like the course. He will like the trip. He'll like the course, the time of year. He's not had a great season, but Alan King didn't have a very good early season. But his horses are all running a lot better. He had winners at Cheltenham, winners at Aintree. And Wayne Hutchinson's riding tremendously. We had a couple of winners at Aintree last week as well. So I'm going to go with Bless the Wings. I think he'll run a really good race in that 3:50.
Okay, excellent. That's Bless the Wings and in 3:50. If you could just spin us through your three picks again for Friday's racing.
In the 3:40 at Newbury, it's not very original, but I think Muwari will go very close. In the 4:15 at Newbury, it has to be but Dutch Masterpiece as well. Again, not very original, but in Ayr's 3:50, slightly more original, I think Bless the Wings might go very close in a very good handicap chase.
OK, there we go. The thoughts of Stephen Power. Remember, you can listen to all of Friday's racing right here at William Hill Racing Radio. Ross Briley, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell will be joining you on Friday. In the meantime, I've been Sam Norris. Thanks for joining me today, Stephen, and I hope you enjoy the racing.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.